Hey, Dog Speak Geeks, do you know that we offer virtual lessons? You can sign up at any time through info@dogspeak101.com. Also, don't miss out on our dog communication seminar on demand or one of our live seminars in Middle Tennessee. We would love to assist you with any and all problems that you have, so give us a call, set up your session today. Dog Speak Geeks, I hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving. Willow and I had an amazing time on Tybee Island down in Savannah, Georgia. We had such a great time, and that is what we are going to talk about on today's episode. I'm going to talk about the lessons that I learned, the lessons she learned, and hopefully give you something that you can take with you the next time you go on a trip with your dog. Guys, we're coming to the end of the year. And that means 2026 is right around the corner, and we are already scheduling our events. If you would like to host us in 2026 for a webinar, an in-person seminar, a weekend workshop, reach out, get in touch with us, and let's start brainstorming. We have a lot of exciting things coming up. We're excited to get into the new year, but right now we still have December to deal with. If you are looking for some assistance, we have some openings for virtual sessions, so reach out and let's get you on the right track. So Willow and I went down to Tybee Island. This was our first big trip together, and I will say it was a rough go a little bit. Now, she does not do great in the car. I have realized now that it is the sounds that she does not care for, because typically I like to ride with my top down or my windows down. Obviously, if it's cold, I'm not going to do that. And I thought she really liked the fresh air because Isabella loves to stick her head out the window. But she just doesn't seem to like the loud noises. And so that's something that we have to work on in the car with the truckers going by. And I started kind of adjusting on when I would roll the windows up, roll the windows down, and she was getting good at communicating to me when she would want them down. So I was, you know, pretty excited about that. It was a rough ride. I will say, I don't know what it is about driving down to Tybee Island in Savannah, Georgia, that I can't ever seem to get down there in 8 hours. It always seems to take like 10 hours, but on the way home, I can get home in 8 hours. Now, I know there's a time difference. That's not what I'm talking about, but it was a rough ride. That 10-hour trip, we did stop several times to help her decompress, but she just did not rest whatsoever. Now, we went down on Sunday, last Sunday, and it was, like I said, a long drive. We didn't get there until late at night, so we were getting in at dark. Vacation house we were staying in was right on the marsh on Tybee Island. It was fantastic. It was not fenced in, which was fine because she's a good girl and she did really well with the request that I would make of her to stay in the area, to not go too far, to come back when called, all that good stuff. So that was all good. So Sunday night, we didn't rest great, which is fine. But then Monday, one of the things that I love to do on Tybee is I just love to walk. I love to get out and just walk and just look at the homes and the moss. It's just so peaceful for me. And so we went for a nice walk on Monday, and she had a chance to really see a lot of things that she had not seen before. A lot of smells. She had not been around sand before. And she had not been around a marshy area. So this was all new. It was cute to watch her with the moss that would fall out of the trees. She would want to play with that. But it was just really interesting to watch her observe the area and take it all in. And it was really important that I help her take all of that in. So how did I do that? I'm going to tell you what I use the most. I use the Mr. Rogers hack. And you're going to be able to go see a video, a collage, a video I put together. It should be out Wednesday, which is tomorrow, on our YouTube page, on what our events look like, because I made sure to record some of it. But I used a lot of Mr. Rogers, just explaining to her there were things happening. There was a lot of distractions happening at once. You know, when we walk around here, we might pass a kid on a bicycle, maybe a couple of kids on a bicycle, somebody walking or walking with their dog. Of course, we have people that fly through our neighborhood, which is completely inappropriate. But we don't have distractions just pile on top of each other. And when I do take her for walks, I usually take her on a longer lead with more space so that she has a lot of room to just kind of enjoy herself. So being on the island, everybody's walking. Everybody is, if you're not walking, you're riding a bicycle. If you're not riding a bicycle, you're on a golf cart. And if you're not on a golf cart, you're in a car. It literally was just constant of seeing people and dogs, golf carts to fly by. A dog might be on the golf cart, barks at her. It was a lot for her. And many times I caught her really stopping and just trying to take it in and not really reacting or responding at all to it. It was like she was just stopped and was kind of like wondering what was happening, because she had never experienced that. I've not done the exposure work that I have done in the past with my dogs. Probably the busiest place we've been is Urban Dog Bar. And that's off-leash work. So, and she's great off-leash, but this was very different because she was on leash. Now, I did have her on a longer leash show, so that she could remove herself from something that's scary, that she could really get in the sniffs and really kind of take in the environment through that nose. You know, that's where she's getting all that information. So it's just a really interesting first day. Because neither one of us wanted to get in the car. So we basically stayed on Tybee and just walked. We didn't walk far because I didn't want to overwhelm her. And I did go down there to also work on my project. And I'll share that maybe by the end of the year. I'll share more in detail of what that project is. But I didn't do a ton of walking that day because I really want us to both to just kind of relax from, you know, the ride down, give her a chance to, you know, sit on the screen and porch and just take in the environment. It was beautiful weather. But the Mr. Rogers hack, I really had to use that quite a bit to explain to her things that were happening. And it was overwhelming for her, but she did really well the first day. Like I said, I really kept it minimal for that. On Tuesday, we did a little bit more of walking, and then we went into Savannah and went to, they had a great dog park right next to where the Savannah Bananas play, which is a fun baseball team. If you don't know the Savannah Bananas, you need to go look them up. It's like the Harlem Globetrotters, but in baseball. And there was a great dog park there. It was huge. Then we walked the park. And so it allowed a little bit more of a sniffari. It was not as busy. There weren't as many people. There weren't as many distractions. There weren't golf carts. And so it was just a little bit more of a relaxing day. And we just got to spend time together and just bond and play. But again, using a lot of Mr. Rogers, but making sure I found places where she could have some off-leash freedom to take in the environment. Because it was an environment that she was not familiar with. I mean, just the textures alone, the sand, the pine straw everywhere. This is something she's not used to. And so for her to take that opportunity to get used to something like that not only helps her to be more versatile when we do go places, but it's going to make her a lot more confident a lot more sure of herself, and probably more willing to step on textures that may be a little strange. Now, I say that, but there was a part on the sidewalk that was different than the sidewalk. It had nodules on it that basically told you that you were coming to a crosswalk. She did not like those and several times pulled me to go around them when I wasn't aware that she was just not going to walk over them. And then she didn't like the speed bumps, but we worked on that one. We fixed that. I made her walk over the speed bumps. I'm like, we're not going to go all the way around, because I like to walk in the middle of the road when there is plenty of space and safety to do so. So I really wanted her to understand that, yeah, there may be things that are uncomfortable, but we need to be able to push through. I didn't force her. I encouraged her. I didn't use a treat and lure her, but I did encourage her by talking her through it. And because she trusts me, she was able to do the speed bump. Now, I didn't spend the time doing it on the crosswalks because it was in an environment that was much, much busier than what she's used to. And that's where some of our struggles came in. And we're going to get into that in just a minute. So one thing is, you do want to help your dogs kind of get over some of the things that they're maybe nervous about. Now, if you have a dog who's just absolutely refusing, okay, so like we went to Black Mountain, North Carolina, and it was a much shorter drive, but it was also with Isabella and with Britt. And so she had her security blanket, I guess you could say. She had Isabella there to help her. But even there, I tried to get her to walk up on the bleachers at the college that was there, and she was not having it. And it wasn't that she wasn't having it, wasn't just that, it was that she was literally trying to run from it. There was not even wanting to get close and stand next to it. That was not the right thing to try to build her confidence on. But what I can do is start to build her confidence on other things that may seem a little strange, build that confidence up enough and that trust to hopefully get her over that. Now, my guess with the problem with those stadiums, the stadium steps and the benches, is because it was metal and it was really windy that day. And so it was making some noises. And even when I was stepping on it, you know how loud those things are. And we already have determined that she's got a little bit of sound sensitivity on certain things. So that is not the right time to push your dog and force your dog to do something like that. It's something we can make a note and then come back at a later time and try again. Or try it on a day that's not so windy, so maybe it's not so loud. But building that confidence up. Now, we have to remember that Willow is still a baby. Now, I say a baby. She's adolescent. I would put her in that teenage phase. She probably still has about 5 to 6 months of maturity to go before she's fully developed. So knowing that she is in that teenager phase and that she's intact, so she's dealing with all these hormones, there's a lot going on with her. So you have to know that there's times to push your dog into doing something. And I say push, heavily encourage. And there's a time to say, all right, well, we're going to put this one on the back burner and we'll just deal with it later. That's what I did with those stadium seats. But with the speed bump, I'm like, no, we just need to go ahead and walk over this. This is not that big of a deal. It's not that weird of a feel. At least it shouldn't be on your feet. But I didn't work on the concrete aspect with the nodules because it was just too busy and there were so many more distractions. I mean, the cars were going by really fast because we were next to the main road. And so that was just a little bit more challenging. So we have to know when the right time is. Don't think that just because I didn't work on it, that she's forever going to be afraid of those. I don't think she will be. I think that I can find the right time and the right place to work on it. So I'd much rather, you know, encourage a dog to get them to willingly do it on their own instead of me trying to push them to do it. Now, could I have used some treats and lured her onto those? Could I have tossed treats on it and had her step on it? Yeah, I could have done all those things. But honestly, in that moment, because it was so busy and I didn't want to overwhelm her. I wanted to focus on what really was the most important. And for me, the most important was being able to handle the cars, being able to walk on the sidewalk and not worry about the cars, be able to walk on the sidewalk and get past other people, get past distractions, tight spaces. I wanted to make sure that she was good with that because for me, that was more of a priority. That's something we're going to deal with more often than a spot on the ground that I could literally just walk around. So that's it. There's a time and a place for that. And it may be different for your dog, right? Your dog may have been like, this traffic is nothing. I live on a busy street. So you could have spent time working on that particular issue. But for Willow, it just wasn't the right time. So with Tuesday, it went really well. We kind of just chilled out Tuesday night. She was good. Wednesday got a little crazy. Now, this is what happened Wednesday. So Wednesday, we went off for a walk again. And I made mistakes here on this Wednesday. I like to just get out and walk. I don't have a plan. I'm not a hiker. Because for me, hiking is like, you got to get from point A to point B and then back down to A. I don't want to do that. I'd rather walk in a circle. I would rather just aimlessly walk in the woods with no destination. And I'm really like that when I go walking on Tybee. I have no destination. I just walk. And I kind of made the mistake of not making a plan with Willow because I was used to having a dog who just goes with the flow. The last time I was down on Tybee Island with my Roddy, when it was just she and I, it was Double D. And, you know, we walked a lot. And I don't have to worry about her. I mean, she was, you know, older and she was mature and good to go. But Willow being the baby that she is and all the hormones, this is the first time I've had a dog stay intact for this long. My first dog that I had, Bandit, but that's another story. She was ready to go. Like, she was excited to go. But I made the mistake of getting a little too far away from our home that we were staying at via walking without any way to truly give her a chance to decompress through a sniffari, through a lick mat. Because we got on the road and we just started walking. And 2 hours later, 5 miles later, we were both dragging ass. But here's where I really, here's some of the mistakes that I have made. So, or let's say here are some things that I need to also work on. Number one, I need to make a plan. If I have my dog and she's young, I need to make a plan. So these are things I'm going to encourage you to do. If you're planning on taking your dog somewhere, please make a plan. Have a plan for decompression. Have a plan for how long you're going to stay. Have a plan if your dog's not having a good time. Have your escape route. Have a plan. I did not have a plan, and I regretted that 5 miles. Also, because we were doing something afterwards, and we only had like 45 minutes downtime. I'll get to that in a minute. The other mistakes. Now, I'm not going to call a mistake. I'm not going to call this a mistake. But what I did learn was this. When Willow and I walk, we typically walk in areas that are very open where she can have a 15 to 30 foot leash. She has that freedom. I don't need a close walk. I don't take her anywhere for close walks. I haven't done a lot of that. Well, that came back to bite me in the butt on Tybee Island because when we were walking the sidewalks, they were tight. So if people are passing by, and Willow, being the friendly dog she is, she wants to say hi to everyone. Unfortunately, with a Rottweiler, not everyone wants to say hi to her, which is sad. So I struggle getting her to walk past people without them feeling nervous because she was kind of reaching out to say hello. So in order to handle that, I used a lot of curves where if I saw someone coming, I'm first using Mr. Rogers, and then I would just curve off of the sidewalk, most of the time in the road, but luckily it was like near the bike lane, so I had space to do that, and I would just curve and then get back on the sidewalk. And that was good. That worked well. She started picking up on it. That's what we were going to do. So it started to become almost like a pattern. However, I do want to work on her being able to walk past people without wanting to say hi. And I think a lot of that will come with maturity, but I also need to work on it more. I literally just have not worked on it. And so that's my fault for doing that. So I had to adjust my expectations with her. And instead of, you know, I had planned on walking, going somewhere for lunch on the patio, but I realized that it was just too much to ask her to sit on a patio with me after all the stimulation that she encountered, especially with the new things like passing people on sidewalks, having to curve around, you know, having that many people or golf carts. You know, people were decorating for Christmas. And so there were a lot of, you know, decorations that are really close to the road or close to the sidewalk because there's not a lot of frontage there, especially when you get down to the businesses. So yeah, it was tight. And I realized I just have not worked on it enough. So that's something I'm going to put on our little sheet that we need to work on, is closer walks and tighter walks for that. When you are doing something like that, you want to make sure you're making a plan to say, we're going to go specifically work on this XYZ. So for me, I'm going to say, okay, we're going to go downtown to our little downtown area, and I'm going to do it maybe late morning before people come out for lunch. And I'm going to start out by maybe just sitting on a bench and just letting her take things in. We did do that. We did sit a couple of times just to let her take in. But it was getting hot. It was tiring. We had a really long walk back. So we didn't sit as much as I should have. But that's why I say we have to plan. So I will plan on taking her and working specifically on it and keeping it very short. So maybe a 20 to 30 minute adventure, and then take her somewhere where she can have another 20 or 30 minute sniffari, something that she can just relax and do fun things, whether it's roll in the grass, sniff around, whatever it might be. Maybe it's to go play with other dogs, but I know I need to specifically work on it. Now, I wouldn't go, hey, we're going to go downtown and I want to check out this store and this store and this store, and then I want to do lunch on the patio. And at the same time, I'm going to work on this behavior. That's not the appropriate time to do it. If you need to work on your dog's behavior in that situation, you need to specifically work on it. Don't try to add it in with everything else. I was adding in my enjoyment of just relaxing walk and then realizing that, oh shit, I need to work on this with her. And I can tell you that by the time we got back to the house, now actually probably a mile and a half before we got back to the house, her reactivity went from zero to about 60% of the time being reactive. And that was being reactive to whether it was other dogs, bicycles, golf carts, you know, not well, and joggers. That was another thing with joggers. She doesn't see a lot of joggers, but again, lots of joggers, lots of bicycles. And so just again, piling on top of each other, it was just too much for her. So she's not reactive at all, but because she was overstimulated, because I had gotten way too far away from the house, she was so overstimulated and I didn't have time to just sit in a corner somewhere because we had to be somewhere that afternoon. I made the mistake of doing too much. And so when we were coming back, she was very reactive, was doing some lunging. And it just, you know, it wasn't her fault. I got frustrated, but I think I was more frustrated at myself because I know better. And I think I was also just not wanting to do any training. I just wanted to have a buddy. But let's be real, it was a new environment. I have to be able to teach her, even though it may not be a training session, I'm still responsible for teaching her and helping her be comfortable. Now, when we got back, I let her lay down and chill. So I had some lunch, but I was actually going to do a session with Dr. North in at her location in Savannah. And I was going to take Willow because Willow was not able to stay at the house by herself. So she had to go with me. And she had not met Harry and Sally, which are Dr. North's dogs. And I thought, I'm not sure if this is going to be a good idea because of how stimulated she is. She doesn't like to ride in the car. We have to get in the car. And then she's going to have to sit in the car while we do our hour and a half session. Even though she was able to see us and hang out, it was still a lot of stimulation for her. Fortunately, she is such a sweet dog to other dogs. She did really good with Harry and Sally, and I think her and Harry might try to date. They're little mini Aussies. They're adorable. She might try to date, you know, I'm not sure. I think Willow and Harry may have a little something going on. But she did really well, and that was a long time. We hung out for several hours, so it was a really long day, so that when we were on our way back, she was barking at everything from the car window. That's something she's not done before. I mean, she did a little bit on the way out, but I could tell it was excessive, and it was all because she was overstimulated. She was over threshold. I just put too much on her on Wednesday, and that was my bad. And, you know, and that's okay. I forgive myself. She forgives me. We just will do better at making a plan for the future. But knowing what you need to work on is important, right? So when you take your dog places and you're doing things with your dog, don't just think about all the good things, but think about where you struggled, right? Where did your dog struggle? Where did you struggle? If you can figure that out, then you can make yourself some notes and say, okay, let's work on this in a different environment, a different time, and let me teach the behaviors that will work best for this scenario and this situation. All right, so my loose leash walking, when I say my loose leash, my kind of relaxed walk where my dog is able to switch sides, walk in front, walk behind me, that is a great walk. But if I want her to do more of like walking in the historic district of Savannah, love, love, love historic Savannah, I couldn't take her and do that walk because it was super busy. We had not practiced enough, even though their sidewalks are much bigger, but the amount of people and dogs, it was just too overwhelming. So that was one of those things I go, okay, that is the future. I want to be able to do that. I want to be able to take her. I want to be able to walk her in Savannah. I want to be able to walk her in tight places where she's feeling relaxed, not walking her on a tight leash to where she doesn't feel like she has any agency. I want her to know to just walk with me. So that's something we are going to work on. So you need to be thinking about, well, what behavior do I want in this scenario? Not what behavior do I need to stop? What behavior do I need to fix? It's what behavior would I like for her to do in this specific situation, in this specific scenario? And that's my job as the upper management to make sure I work on those behaviors so I can set her up for success. But if she knows what the expectation is and I have more kind of control in those moments, it's going to give her that confidence. So when she has the expectation to walk closer to me, and I have taught that, and we're good at it, she's going to feel more confident in walking those tight spaces. So yeah, I had not worked on it. And now I realize, I need to work on that. So I'm not going to beat myself up over it. But I do want you to know that, look, I've been doing this for 30 years. I'm not going to get everything right and everything perfect. And Willow and I are learning about each other. She's still coming into who she is. She's still coming into understanding what she likes, what she doesn't like, what she's interested in, what she's not interested in. I am learning to read her in those situations. So it was a really eye-opening trip for me to really see her and see where she struggles, what she needs from me, but also where she absolutely just rocks. So on Thursday, on Thanksgiving, we went to Bonaventure Cemetery. It's a beautiful cemetery. It's huge. I was able to have her on her 30-foot leash. It was just phenomenal. And she was absolutely almost perfect. The only thing that she struggled with is on the 30-foot leash, wrapping around the big-ass trees that are there and then trying to come back to me and then getting us both wrapped up. So that was the only struggle. But that was as much my fault as it was hers because I had the leash hooked to my belt instead of in my hand. All I had to do is just unhook her. She wasn't going anywhere. I could have walked her off leash because she's just so good off leash. But I wanted to be respectful. So we did use our long leash and we did run into people, other dogs, and she was really good. And finally, some people wanted to say hi to her. So she got petted on. And she's just such a lovey. She just loves people. So she really had a good time there. We got to see another dog. She really wanted to play with that dog. She wasn't as well behaved around that dog as she typically is, but we were like an hour and a half in. And so she was towards being over threshold. So I made sure to walk places where there weren't any people or it was very minimal just to help with that decompression so that when she was seeing more people, she was doing better with that. So that was a really nice thing. And if you have a big cemetery around you, it's a great place. If they have roads cut through, it's a great place to take your dog, use a long leash, work on just response from a distance, work on giving your dog more control over themselves, and walking and just working on your walking skills, right? That distance walking skills. Unlike me, I need to work on the closer walking skills. But it's what I use the most. I usually walk in space. That's why my priority has been walking relaxed. But I will be working on that closer walk. But yeah, she did really, really well there. Then we went into Savannah. But again, she was way overstimulated. We went to Forsyth Park. It's huge. It's beautiful. There were so many people there. I again was going to try to find a patio to get something to eat. And by the time we got to Forsyth and we parked, she was overstimulated. So we sat in the car for about 20 or 30 minutes, just letting her decompress. And then we got out and walked. And Forsyth was beautiful, but it was busy. It was a lot of people, dogs, soccer balls, scooters, footballs, kites, you name it. It was there. So needless to say, we did not sit on a patio anywhere. We sat at Forsyth and just took it in. So we did a little stationary work, just sat and talked to her and just let her take things in. And she did really well. But I could tell that it had just been a busy week, especially the day before, very busy. So we just hung out and then we went back home and hung out for the evening. And Friday, what did we do Friday? Did I come home Friday? I came home Friday. And her car ride was much better on the way home Friday. I use CBD strips. Thank you, Dr. North. I use CBD strips on the way home to help with that. And she did do much better. And we were able to get home early. And she's been resting pretty well. She was excited to get home. But one thing I've really learned, and here's the thing, I did not eat anywhere except at the house because I just didn't want to put her in that situation to have to sit on a patio with that much stimulation after all the stimulation I had done throughout the day because the weather was so nice. I love to eat on Tybee. I love to have good fresh seafood. There's some of my favorite places are in Tybee and Savannah, and I didn't get to do any of that. Does that suck? Yeah, a little bit. But you know what? It's okay. I'll go back and we'll do it again. And I'll practice and I'll make sure that she does better on those skills so that we're able to do those things. So I just didn't want to push her because if I pushed it, I'm afraid that we'd have both been frustrated and neither one of us would have had a good time. And I just wanted to be in the moment. I didn't want to force something so that the future could be better. I just wanted to be in the moment, enjoy the moment, enjoy that time with her, enjoy some downtime away from the, you know, the cats, the house, the chores, you know, but working on my project and just spending time with her. But I did. I learned a whole lot of likes and dislikes and what she needs from me as that upper management. And that is something I think we don't do enough of when we take our dogs out for adventures. We don't focus enough on what can we do better to help our dog. Like, how many times when you take your dog for a walk and you come back, do you think about what you could do better? Or do you just think about what crappy behavior your dog did and that you wish they would do better? And it's okay to think about what behavior your dog did that you don't really want. That's okay. But you need to make sure you think about what behavior do you want to replace it with. If you don't want your dog pulling on a leash, what behavior do you want to replace it with? All right? Saying, I want my dog to heal, and you've done nothing but let them just pull you all over the place, you're going to struggle and get very frustrated. I recommend teaching walking cues to where your dog can do directional changes with you and being that connection. Learning those walking cues before you try to do something more challenging by walking close to you. So think about the next time you take your dog out somewhere. Think about when you get back, what can you do to make things better? What can you do to make your dog less anxious, make your dog less confused? Be clear in your communication with your dog. Did you clearly communicate? And there was not one time I could walk with headphones in. If I walked with headphones in, I wouldn't be able to direct my dog. I wouldn't be able to focus on my dog. I wouldn't be able to be aware of the triggers or the distractions. I say triggers. She doesn't really have a trigger, but distractions and stimuli that's in the area. So I focused on her when doing my walks. I didn't listen to a podcast. I didn't listen to a book. And I love to do those things, but that was not the right time to do it. Now, once we got on some of the back roads that I knew were quiet, she didn't need my direction as much. And I also learned, and I think this is a big one, that I have to kind of really, I have to do a better job at adjusting to this. And this is something that will be different for every dog. I think I was too much stimuli for her in the environment that was too much stimuli. So what I mean by that is that I spent a lot of time telling her what a good girl she was when she was handling the new things in the environment, hearing tools, seeing people, you know, pop out of homes, just different things that she's not used to seeing. Well, because I didn't know when a golf cart was going to pop up, when a dog was going to come barking, whatever, I just stayed doing a lot of good girls. But then I realized that I was adding to things that she needed to take in. And I don't think I needed to do that because she was truly tuned into me to where I think I could have handled it if I wasn't constantly telling her good girl. And with the videos that I took, there's actually a clear difference of the first day I took her out and the amount of good girls I gave her in a, you know, a 2-block walk. It was a lot. And I do encourage that. But then I realized that, okay, that might have been too much and not allowing her to take in the other things in the environment and file them away appropriately. Because her brain's not fully developed, right? It's like just saying, okay, I'm giving this high school kid too much information at once. So I really want to pull back. But I still always stay encouraging, positive. I'm the tour guide. And I am giving her the directions that she needs to be safe. So I hope you've learned something from this episode because I certainly learned something from my trip and learned that, one, Willow is the exact partner that I needed. She and I do very well together. She did have some struggles listening a couple of times when she was in the backyard off leash to go potty. She was struggling getting her potties in because she was getting so distracted. And actually a couple of times I had to get her. I had to go get her once, maybe twice in the backyard. It wasn't a big backyard, but I had to go get her because her little nose just took her on a little adventure. And my this way was not working as well as it normally does. And yeah, my immediate response was like, what? She's been a little bit of an asshole. Why is she not listening to me? And I realized, Nikki, stop. This is so new for her. She's doing phenomenal. And yeah, she's struggling right now because she's got a lot of things going on. If you need her to stay close, put her butt on a leash and limit the options. Otherwise, don't get mad at her because I was the one in charge. Now, she didn't get in trouble. I just went and got her and explained to her that she really needed to listen because that's what I do. I literally had these conversations with her when she was barking out the window at things that just she saw. I helped her. Well, I explained to her that we see the things first. We see first. So if we see that scary truck, we see it. Then if we're not sure about it, we're welcome to growl. And then if we feel like the growl wasn't enough, then you may bark. Because she was just seeing and barking. We'll see how well that works. Because again, not done a ton of that. We've not done a ton of that. So make a list. Make a list of what you want with your dog. And that's, again, it goes back to that path of least resistance. You know, we did that webinar, I think it was last year, the path of least resistance, and you can get it on demand. We do have it still available for purchase, but that path of least resistance is finding out what do you need to teach your dog in order to have the best relationship with your dog, as well as help your dog handle any situation or scenario you're going to put them in. So if I'm going to be putting her in situations like walking in historic savannah and, you know, walking those tight spaces and sitting on patios, I need to work more on the skills that she's going to need to be successful. I'm not just going to expect her to be better if I haven't taught it. So do that for yourself. Do that for your dog. Think about where you can improve. Think about where your dog needs to improve. And work with your dog as the partner you need to be. Not being demanding. Direct when you need to. Comfort when you need to. Soothe if you need to. Cuddle with them. Love on them. Help them navigate these weird things. And don't get so pissed off at them when they're doing behavior that you don't like, especially if you've not worked on any other behavior. Now, I got frustrated a couple times with her walking. And again, I say frustrated. I don't think I was frustrated with her. I think I was more frustrated with me because, yeah, I'm like, damn, Nikki, this is your job. You should have already had this handled. But I had to give myself grace because it's not something that's been important to us. And that doesn't make it right and it doesn't make it wrong. If I don't ever teach her a close walk, okay, that just means we can't go walking in those areas that I want to walk in. But that's not what it's going to be. I am going to work on her and we're going to do a better job together as a team because that's what we are. We're a team. And I love her and I adore her. And I also realize that she is a big-ass snorer. She snores like a freight train. And she has been so tired. Her snoring has been pretty amazing. But we had a really nice time. And I encourage you to get out and do some adventures with your dog and think about what you want and work on it. And I hope that this has given you a little bit of insight to a professional's trip with her doggie, who is a teenager and has her own thought processes, but also has her own desires, her own likes, her own dislikes. And I have to be aware of that as well, because I do want to make sure that I'm meeting her needs as well as meeting my needs. And there you go. I hope that you have enjoyed this episode. And if you guys have not checked out our Patreon account, $5 a month, Dog Speak Elite, you're going to get videos on walking, on other things that you're not going to find anywhere else. It's only for Patreon members. But also, if you're a Patreon member, for that $5 a month, you're actually going to get free entry into our virtual live Q&A, Decoding Your Dog, that we're doing in January. So if you're a Patreon member, you get priority status for your question to be answered, and you get free entry. Otherwise, if you're not a Patreon member, early bird special right now is $19.99, where you get to send in your question, and I will be answering those questions in a live Q&A, and then you will get a chance for one follow-up question for that. And it will be recorded, but you're going to want to have the live, but it'll be recorded so you can go back and listen and find other little great bits of information to help with you and your dog. I will put that information in the show notes. Also, if you have not signed up for our newsletter, please do so. You will be getting information there that you're not going to find anywhere else either. And it comes out on Wednesdays. Sometimes there's a good coupon code in there. If you did not use your 50% off Thanksgiving code for November, you missed it. I might be giving another code out in the newsletter for your courses in December. And don't forget, we also offer gift certificates. So if you guys are looking for anything like that for gifts, check that out. And we do have some merchandise with sweatshirts, koozies, long sleeves. Check out the website and check out our courses on our dogspeakgeek.thinkific.com. And again, I'll put everything in the show notes. So I hope you've got something out of what I had to learn on my vacation, my /vacation/work trip. It was phenomenal, but it was very eye-opening. So get out there, think about your dog, think about what you need them to do, and think about how can you be a better owner, a better partner, a better guardian for your dog. Hope you have a wonderful rest of your week.